While you're standing, Sister Brown is recovering from surgery. We want to pray for her.
Yes,
Brother Portman's been sick since Sunday. In fact, he thought it was COVID. He took a COVID test and he proved negative. But he's just under the weather, and he needs our prayers. Most of you know that my wife's mother had a massive stroke on Monday, and it's not a good prognosis. The doctors don't give her any hope. She's in and out of consciousness, and my wife's been at the hospital for the last 3 days. And you know, in situations like that, you just put people in God's hands, because there's no answer. There's no right answer for us. I prayed for her, and she's 93 years old and a wonderful lady. And she loves God. And so God knows everything about her. It's not easy to lose a parent. A lot of you know what that's like. But you're never ready for it. You know, 93 is a great run, you know. But I'm looking for eternity, you know, where there's no end. Amen. Jesus, God, we come before your throne. You've lifted a scepter. We ask, God, that you'd reach down and touch Sister Brown and give her a speedy recovery. God, be with Pastor Portman, Lord. We come against this thing in Jesus' name. Lord, touch Mary Bauer right now, God. Strengthen Sister Schumacher. Bring comfort, God, as only you can. God will give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. While you're standing, if you would turn to Psalms 124. Psalms chapter 124. Part of the reason for teaching and preaching is so that we can have information to teach other people. Sometimes you're not even going to get any new information, but maybe some revelation and excitement about what you're hearing. So you get excited about telling somebody else about what you heard. I have the hardest time at Christmas time. I wait until the very end to buy presents, because I'm so anxious to give them to whoever I bought the present for. And when I hear good preaching, revelation, I want to tell somebody about it. It's not easy for me to keep it to myself. And that's the way the church should live. I'm excited about the Word of God. And did you know? So Psalms 124 and 7 says, "Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped." That's us, folks. We escaped. Years ago, I was driving through an old neighborhood, and I saw this bird going up and then coming down in a ditch. And I couldn't figure out why. And I remember going over to the bird, and I saw that the bird had entangled its legs in some kind of a nylon cord. And so I went over there, and I pulled the bird close to me and untangled its feet from the cord to let him go. During the time, the bird was pecking at me and trying to hurt me. And all I'm trying to do is free the bird, you know? Sometimes that's the way it is. When we're trying to free people saying, stop it. I don't want to hear that. I was one of those birds. I was a dirty bird that needed to escape. And then if you'll turn to Hebrews, the second chapter. Verse number three. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. How can we escape if we neglect, see the miracles, and deny it? God, we ask your blessing and touch, anoint your word, make it fresh, make it alive to us, God. Not just another sermon, not just another teaching, but something, God, that we can allow to become a part of us. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. See, David declared that our soul or our salvation is escaped as a bird out of a snare, and the reason for our escape is our God took our place. That's how we escaped. We could not escape, we could not be free on our own, except he freed us. And most of us were kicking and screaming as he was untangling us from this world. If you'll turn to Romans, the third chapter. Romans 3 and 23, very familiar scripture. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So there is nothing we could do in order to free ourselves. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody is good enough in order to have salvation. But it was through his grace, through the redemption of his blood. So we've all been infected with this soul-destroying disease from the time that we were born, and the only cure for the disease is the propitiation or substitute through faith in his blood. People don't go to the doctor before they realize they are sick. And that's why many people won't come to church, because they think they are fine. They don't see their need for salvation. They feel that everything is all right. If I'm better than most people, God will judge me accordingly. And yet it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Part of our responsibility as a church is to declare people's needs for salvation. Did you realize that you need something more than just accepting the Lord as your Savior? They're caught in the snare of the devil, and they don't even know it. They're caught up in a society, in a world that's corrupt, and they don't even know it because the majority of the people are patting them on the back. But it says in 2 Timothy 2 and 25, in meekness, instructing those that, what, oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of truth. It's literally a gift from God that we recognize I'm a sinner, I need to be saved, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, we were in prison. You know, we were in a place where we didn't even realize that we needed somebody to save us. The only way to recover themselves from that snare is through the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We needed a Savior. You don't need a church to save you. You need a God to save you. And there are churches who have, you know, portrayed that the church saves you, a pastor saves you, a congregation. No, it's Jesus that saves you. He's the only one who can release you from this bondage. It's not our righteousness or good works. We need help from one who is our propitiation, our substitute, to set us free from the snare of the devil. After David sinned, he had to get to a place where he acknowledged, hey, I've sinned. And then he had to take some action to cleanse himself from that sin. You know, we stumble through this world. And we may not do things exactly the way God wants us to, commission or omission, and we need to ask God, God, forgive me, because that releases us again and again and again. Psalms 51 and 4 states this, against thee, this is David, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. I want to hear your voice. I want a good relationship, God, and I'm sorry for what I have done. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth. That's the road of escape. I know what you want, God. I'm going to do it. Truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now listen to verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Here's someone who's known God, but messed up. Woe to them who have known God and messed up, but don't come to the same realization as David did. I need to confess and be restored. So when David came to himself, he recognized his need to be washed. We've all been at that point, and we recognize our need to be washed from our sins. We need to escape again, if you will, because if you don't, you can get so snared up in this world that you can't get out. Paul, after he was knocked off his horse by a bright light, he said in Acts 9 and 5, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then in verse 6, he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" When you realize who God really is, then you have to also say, what is it that you want me to do? I just can't continue the way I am. Ananias replied in Acts 22 and 16. He says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We find in 1 Peter 3 and 21 that baptism doth now also save us. It literally washes away our sins. Acts 2 and 38, it says, "For the remission of sins." So we see that the washing away of our sins involves two things. It involves baptism, and we have to have a name called over us. It is the authority that releases us from the sentence we're under, whether it's the first time or it's the fifth time. Now, David and Paul had the advantage of knowing the Old Testament law. You see, there wasn't a New Testament Bible for that brand new church. It was all about the Old Testament. Some people think, well, let's just get into the New Testament. What's the sense? Well, you know, those people got saved based on the Old Testament, if you will. They read it over and over. They had the priest declare it every year. And they also saw examples of the purging of sin by the high priest. And one example of this vivid illustration was for the leper. The leper is a shadow and type of us who are in sin. And how do we get cleansed from the sin that we're in? They recognize that there had to be a priest who would examine the leper to see whether or not the leprosy was gone. So take a look at Leviticus, the 14th chapter. Leviticus 14, starting in verse number 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into an open field." It's a shadow and type of how God releases us from our past and from our sins. Now, Paul knew this. David knew this. These scriptures weren't, whoa, there's something new. No, they were very familiar with what would happen to a leper and what was the procedure for the leper to be cleansed and how the priest had to examine him. It was a common knowledge among God's people that if a man was found unclean, that he needed to be examined by the priest. Nobody else, if they were found to have leprosy, there was a formula for the cleansing of this leprosy. Two birds were taken by the priest. One was killed in an earthen vessel over running water. You know, throughout the Old Testament, God's showing us little examples, little pictures of what's going to happen in the New Testament. Now, the second bird was dipped with hyssop. The hyssop was a plant used to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Some say that the hyssop represents the word by which the blood is applied. And again, another shadow and type. And the blood of the bird that was killed was applied to the living bird over running water. Leprosy in the Bible is a form of sin, and unless leprosy is cleansed, it is always fatal. Unless sin is completely eradicated out of your life, it's always fatal. You don't get out of this thing. You don't get into eternity and God's grace by accident. It caused people to be disfigured. Noses fell off, ears fell off, their skin rotted. They lose all feeling and sensitivity. You see, when we're involved in sin, we lose all feeling and sensitivity to the things of God. It doesn't matter any longer. It separates us from friends and family and loved ones. It just doesn't go away by itself. It's not cured because of good works or giving to the church or even a revelation of what the Word of God says. Isaiah said, "Our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord." You can't get clean by yourself. "For all have leprosy and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. It takes a death and a covering of blood under running water. The application is obvious to those who experience New Testament salvation. Jesus came in an earthen vessel, this body, and he was killed, that we could, by the word of God, by the hyssop, be covered in his blood under running water, that we, like it said in Leviticus 14 and 7, be pronounced clean and shall be let loosed into an open field. We have escaped like a bird. I'll fly away, O glory. I'll fly away. When I die, by and by, take a look at John, the 8th chapter. John 8 and verse 34, familiar scripture. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." I've escaped. These are all escapees right here. You got out. Hallelujah. No bail bond, nothing. You just escaped. God opened the doors, the prison doors, and we walked out free. Hallelujah. Untangled from the world. Glory to God. Now, almost the whole chapter of Leviticus 13 explains that the priest's instructions from God as who would clean and who wasn't clean, that it was the priest's job to examine those with leprosy. Well, I think I'm all right. Well, what does the preacher say? I think I'm fine. What's your opinion? Doesn't matter. You got to go see the preacher. Let him tell you if you're right or not, you see. Too many people are so independent in church today that, well, I just believe that. Oh, really? Go see the priest. Go see the one who's in authority. Let him examine you to see if you are right, you see. That was his job. And he alone would declare a person clean or unclean. If you'll turn to Luke, the 5th chapter. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." That's what God's looking for. Somebody to just fall on his face and say, "God, I know I'm not right. And I know you can make me clean. You can release me." And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. There are too many people who have been pronounced clean who aren't. By those who aren't in authority, who have never experienced freedom for themselves. How can you declare somebody free if you yourself are still entangled? Religious people or those who associate themselves with church, yet only our high priest Jesus Christ can set you free, who shed his own blood for us and makes the examination to declare, you're clean, you're free. You know when you're free. You know when you've escaped. You know when there's been a reprieve. Jesus said in John 3 and 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is misinterpreted because people are thinking the kingdom of God is heaven, when the kingdom of God is right here. You see, except you're born of the water and the spirit, you can't enter into the realm of God here. A freedom here, a cleansing here. It's an answer of a good conscience towards God. Under the running water, if you will. If you turn to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, Ezekiel 36, starting in verse number 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I met somebody this week, and they said, wow, you haven't changed at all. I think it was their eyesight that was gone. But how many people who you used to know in the days when you were still captive, and now you're free, and you're sanctified, and you become a witness, just like it's sanctified in you before their eyes. You're different. Hallelujah. It's Monday. Why are you happy? For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Remember, in that process of being free, God puts a spirit within us and changes our attitude and our desires and our outlook. Now you love the things you used to hate and hate the things you used to love. It's a personality transplant that God does when he fills us with the Holy Ghost, and you don't even understand what's going on in your life. But now I want to go to church. I never wanted to go to church. There must be something going on inside of me. Only God can do that. You can't just persevere because you've determined I'm going to live for God. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes or laws, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. I just want to do them now, because he's cleansed me and then he's filled me with his spirit that changes everything in my life. And now I am free. Still have problems, but I'm free. Still have a death sentence over this old body, but still free to live for eternity, you see. Amen. Anybody here glad that they're free tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. So we ought to tell somebody, you know, I'm free. You mean you can't smoke anymore? I can, but I don't want to. You mean you gotta look like that? No, but I want to. Glory to God. Remember Brother Moran years ago, it's a lot of years ago, I brought a bottle of brandy and put it on this pulpit here. And I said, Brother Moran, it's been a bad week. So I took the bottle, took two glasses, filled them up, you know, gave one to him. I said, trust me, Brother Moran. We clicked glasses and drank it. And everyone's going, oh, I knew he'd lose it one of these days. And I said, what's wrong with drinking apple juice? Well, the label said brandy. See, we have a label on us. Is it important to look like a Christian, to act like a Christian? Amen. Because what they see on the outside determines what's going on the inside, you see. And I'm going to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to continue to be free. Hallelujah. I've got problems, and I am so free. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesdays, not Saturday mornings. Right now, every moment of every day, I need him. Amen. So when you're up against a major problem, you have a situation that you can't control, you know, you've got a God who is in control. Please pray for my wife. It was such a great responsibility right now, and been spending just about night and day at the hospital. But we have a hope. We have a hope. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?